Are we going?
We're going.
Are we going? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Bacon Smiles Podcast. Only 2 weeks in between this time. Not like
last
time.
New record.
Is this seven? Is this episode seven right now?
We're using two hands. I know that.
All right. Awesome. Something's going on weird in my headphones. It's cutting in and out, so that's awesome. It's a great way
it's
to start
ministry,
it off.
You know?
Yeah.
Ministry always running on a budget.
Hold on. Got it. Good. Yep. Now I can hear myself again.
All right. Very good.
We're just going to leave that in there.
Sure.
As always, once again, I'm Steve Patira, founder of Bacon Smiles Ministry. As always, joined by my very good friend,
Evan Shaw Mumford.
Awesome. So today, we're going to talk about a few topics. Definitely want to kind of touch on the tragedy in Orlando. Definitely want to, you know, talk about that. It's all over the news, so definitely want to talk about that. The other thing that we want to talk about is Evan went to see a movie recently.
Yeah, last week.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that. Also, I had one of my men's ministry evenings.
I remember you talking about that. Yeah,
so one of our meet and greets, M-E-A-T, it went awesome. Had a bunch of...
Was there bacon?
There, probably about 30, 40 pounds of bacon.
Very good.
So, and then we're going to touch on, what Evan's got in music coming up.
Sure.
Coming out soon or just recently released. And then, of course, our Saint of the Day, Saint Joseph Confesso. Pretty awesome saint. So, and then we got a pretty good news of the weird at the end.
Yeah, this is something you want to hear.
We'll just leave that. Won't tell you what it is because it's too good. So, Orlando.
Orlando.
This is tough because to give it more time and news to just focus on such a tragedy, I want to make sure that what's understood about what I'm saying is that all I want to focus on is prayers for the families and friends of the people that lost their lives that day. Is that's all I can go back to. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about all the other political nonsense that gets put into the media, because that it's somehow the focus gets turned away from the fact that there are loved ones that will never see their family again. Yeah. And there's, you know, parents that will never see their child. There are siblings that will never see their brother or sister. Or, you know, it's tragic. Mm-hmm. And so all I can do is just pray that, you know, for healing for the friends and family of the lost. And also just pray for anyone with, you know, a mental illness. The people that would possibly perform such tragic acts, that they would see this tragedy and that God will get in their head and talk to them and just say, please don't do this.
Right.
And something like this will somehow make them get help. Because I don't care what your political beliefs are. There are so many people who are not alive today because of the acts of one person. And all I can do is pray for the families of those who have lost. And also, you know what we're called to do? We're called to pray for his family too.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did lose someone too.
Yeah. One thing I keep thinking about going over this past week is every week it seems like there's something on social media where there's a weekly trend of something that's causing people to get upset, angry, some opinions being thrown out into the mix. And then the next week it's forgotten about. You know, because there's a new hot topic, another nasty thing or surprising thing or something that comes up in the news, and it's a whole new tangent.
Yeah.
And for me, especially with this horrible, horrible thing that happened in Orlando, my hope is that this won't be forgotten about in the next week. It won't be forgotten about for us, you know, on the outside, I'm hoping that we can grow more empathetic and more kind towards others, because we can see, you know, we don't necessarily know what's going on behind the scenes, but someone is struggling with something.
Absolutely.
Someone is dealing with some horrible, horrible grief that we don't see. We might see a little snippet of it, you know, if we're talking to someone or running someone at the store and they're in a really bad mood, if they're grumpy or, you know, not in the cheerful spot that we might be, we don't know what they're going through. And maybe they're being unreasonable, but at the same time, maybe they're struggling with something that we don't know.
The other thing too is that all I can think about is what I keep seeing, and I know I'm kind of stammering because I just want to make sure that my feelings come across. Mm-hmm. And all I keep thinking about is people keep saying, I keep seeing it on Facebook, where is God in this? Why? Like, if there is a God, there is no God because of this and that. God is not gone in these tragedies. He is there, and he is weeping. Mm-hmm. When asked to describe Jesus in one word or one quality, the word that always comes is love. Mm-hmm. We are called to love one another. Whether or not you share the same lifestyle, the same religion, the same ideology, whatever you want to call it, we are called to love. We are called to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. That means everyone. Because God is not just my father. Mm-hmm. He is not just Evan's father. He's your father. That makes whoever is listening to this right now, mm-hmm. that makes you my brother and sister. And would we have as much hate in the world as we do if people saw it that way? Mm-hmm. Because regardless of whether or not you believe in him or not, God loves you. Mm-hmm. And Jesus loves you. And he is not absent in these times of tragedy. He is with you, and he will carry you, he will cry with you, and he just wants to heal you. And in these times of tragedy, you cannot shrink and be alone. You have to allow the people that God has put into your life to help pick you up. Anyone out there who struggles with depression, I know what that's like. I've struggled with depression many times in my life. I'm not ashamed to say that. There is nothing to be ashamed of when you struggle with depression. People who know me that may not have heard me talk about this before may just go, dude, you smile all the time. You're so just lovable and laughing all the time and stuff like that. That doesn't mean that when I'm home on days where I'm not happy with myself. Like, there's many days like that. We all have bad days. We all have down days. It's when you start to have many down days in a row. Mm-hmm. And when you start to say no to people wanting you to go out with them. And when you start to say no to life. Mm-hmm. That's when you know you have a problem. So the one thing that I want people to take from a tragedy like this is don't remain quiet in your struggle. Don't bottle it all up. Love one another and pray. Let's pray to God. We don't have another one of these stories again. Mm-hmm. It's way too often.
Yeah.
And I really don't have much else to say on it. It's way too often such a tragic loss of life, regardless of what your beliefs are about the situation, about the person who perpetrated it, about the victims themselves, because they are children of God. regardless of what your beliefs are on any of the topics that have been slewn across the media. We are called to love. And that's what I want to make sure I get across, is that we are called to love one another. So, not a smooth transition.
I was wondering. I was thinking that myself. How are we going to transition into the next thing from here?
So, the only thing I can say is that to transition to the next thing, the only is what we all need in life is good entertainment.
Good entertainment. That's right. Good laughter, good entertainment.
Yeah, whatever form of entertainment you enjoy. Evan went and saw a movie.
I did. We went to go see the advanced screening of The Conjuring 2.
Ooh, advanced screening. Look at you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we were able to find tickets online. So Jen had me as her plus one. And then two of her friends came as well because they were able to get tickets too.
Cool.
But if you're not familiar with The Conjuring movies, there's two of them right now. And they're based on real events. They're horror movies based on the stories of Ed and Lorraine Warren. And if you're not familiar with these two people, they're ghost hunters who are involved in the Amityville Horror story in New York. And The Conjuring 1 took place in Connecticut, and The Conjuring 2 took place in England. But Ed and Lorraine Warren, both Roman Catholics, very strong believers in the faith. And what their mission is to go out and hunt ghosts and do exorcisms, pretty much.
Cool.
And in this new movie, what was really neat was I didn't realize this going in, but coming out of the movie, I was thinking, you know, it's neat how they reference to the faith several times in the movie without making it hokey, but in a kind of a reverent way that I was watching this, and it wasn't like a God's Not Dead kind of movie where it's, you know, a faith movie, a blatant faith movie of, you know, here's our message that we want to convey. But it was just a nice little touch of prayers being said with the rosary, different ways to approach demons and stuff like that. And it was just a nice, refreshing feeling to have while leaving the theater. And there was no, as far as I remember, there was no swearing. No sexual references.
Interesting. No blood. But it's still like a rated, horror, like a rated thriller, R, you know.
But there was no, it was because of the scares. There was no, you know, profanity or anything like that involved.
So that's surprising for it to still be rated R. Sure there wasn't a couple?
It was super intense. The horror was super intense.
So just understand, people out there, we're not saying that anyone under the age of 17 should go see it.
Right. You should be cautious before you see it. We were... Jen says she heard me scream. I don't think I screamed, but that's another conversation.
I'm betting he screamed.
I screamed. Anyway. But... I digress. So I was listening to this interview on the radio over the weekend, and they were actually talking about how the writers of the movie, The Conjuring 1 and 2, are brothers and believers.
Oh, okay.
And so as they were writing this, they're like, you know, we understand the power of prayer. We understand, you know, the faith and the struggle between good and evil. That's really cool. And so we wanted to incorporate that into the movie. And it wasn't preachy, but it was done in a way that wasn't a 1970s hokey, let's bring in the Catholics and you know, it gets cheesy. It was done reverently and respectfully. And in the storyline,
that's really cool.
And I won't reveal too much. But basically, the church says, look, what's going on here in England, which is based on real reports of ghostly activity, they're saying it's becoming a media circus. The church doesn't like getting involved in situations where it's a media circus, it's a whole frenzy, and it could make the church look bad. So he said to the Warrens, would you mind going on our behalf and just investigating this? If nothing happens, you don't have to stay, just go away. If something does happen, you still don't have to stay, just come back, let us know, and we'll send a priest over and they'll do the exorcism.
Awesome.
And so they go and they see the weird stuff that's going on. So it was a very good movie, a great mix of horror and humor. which okay. I think it's important in scary movies. It's nice to have that.
The comic relief.
Of just, yeah, you get the stress, but then you get the laughter to break it up. And
that is true, too, because if it's just building and building and building and building, and all of a sudden you're like, ah!
Yeah. And it's just one scare after another. You walk out just stressed out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's in theaters now. It's got like a 85% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's pretty awesome.
So I'd recommend checking it out if you like that kind of film. If not, maybe rent it. But it was just a nice way to see that the faith was incorporated into it. Just subtly but nicely.
No, yeah, I like it when it's like that, too, and it's not forced. It's not...
They don't add in profanity just to make shocking.
That, you know? That, too. Listen. I mean, I swear sometimes. It's actually really funny when kids in the program say, like, that, you know, our confirmation director swears, and then they look at me and they're like, I don't think I've ever heard you swear. I'm like, I guess I'm just really good at, you know, knowing where I am, which is, you know, it's something that I've done over time. I think, listen, as good Christians and Catholics, we're not supposed to use profanity, you know, but I'm a sinner and I mess up. So it happens. But I've definitely made a concerted effort to not swear as much as I used to, because, which, you know, as an unruly teenager, I feel like I actually only knew swear words as far as like my as my vocabulary, which is, I don't mean to sound braggadocious in any way. I've said many times I was a horrible human being in my teen years. So it's just really funny that we've gotten to a point, though, that somehow swearing is the way to be a punchline to a joke or whatever. I just don't think you need it. And I think the best example of that is that Brian Regan is one of my favorite comedians, and he does not swear.
He just got a Snapchat over the weekend, and it's just hysterical. It's just funny seeing him for like 7 seconds just coming up with a little bit.
That's really funny, because he could also get like immediate you know, results, like knowing if what he's doing and what he's talking about is funny. So that's really cool.
Yeah
That's really funny. Other things that are fun and funny. My men's meet and greet, my men's ministry, we had an event this past Saturday. Got about, I want to say 60 or 70 men that came to it. I think I've talked about it on here before, but maybe some people haven't sat through every episode. So I'll just touch on it again. My friends and I put on two events a year. We call them meet and greets, M-E-A-T, and then greet, you know. That's G-R-E-E-T, in case
you're wondering. Normal spelling.
Normal spelling on that. Which is really funny, because when I've edited videos and stuff like that, I've made it meet and great, just because I got used to E-A-T right. So it's like, just meet and great, you know, this is awesome.
Great time.
The English language. Okay, so one of those words is meet, and the other one is great. Right. But the E-A,
just flip it, you know, great meet.
It's great. Great meet. That's right. So this time, we always have like ridiculous, awesome events and stuff like that.
I remember the one time that I went, and it was just bizarre, the stuff you guys came up with. But it was, there was such a great time. Just a lot of laughter and ministry.
Yeah.
It's a good combination. Like I said, it's good to have the combination of both. Good
and
to
so have humor the, mixed in. The thing is, you know, I talked about it a little bit last time, is when we were meeting for this and we were putting on a video. We used a video at the end to spur conversation. And, you know what? I'll show it to you after.
Okay.
And it's available online. My friend Kelsey put together a website. I think it's like primecuts.org. Double check this on your tablet.
Okay.
I believe it's Prime.
Then, how's that spelled? I'm kidding.
Okay. prime-cuts.org.
Okay. I know all about the hyphen.
And then just let me know. I know right now we're going dead air. .org, I believe, yeah. Wait. Waiting.
Moment with the internet. Let's see. This is great audio.
Yeah. Okay. Ah. Yeah. That's it. So, if you go to that website, right on the front page, it says "Wisdom from the Red Barn." My friend Sam is also a youth minister who goes around to other churches like myself and puts on retreats. The name of his ministry is Red Barn Ministry, and so it's under his ministry name that we put on these events, the Red Barn. And that's because we hold them, and get this, a Red Barn.
I would never guess.
So if you go onto that site, it's got a bunch of different clips and other things, faith-based. But And that's why it's called Prime Cuts. It's little, you know, weekly things. And it's a little pub for my friend Kelsey, who puts a lot of time and effort into that. But anyway, so you'll find the video that we did for this most recent meet and greet. And we focused on what it means to be a good Christian man. Good Christian men and the struggles that we have in today's society and stuff like that. So you can watch the video and see, you know, where we all kind of stand, and we all kind of have like different, you know, things that we focus on, things that come to us. We're all different, you know. But anyway, so the really cool events that we did this past time were paintball, Pictionary. So like 3/4 inch plywood, 4x8 sheet, and you were told draw a sailboat, and your team had to guess at it, and you're shooting a paintball gun, and it was almost like connect the dots, you know. So you just, and you had to guess at it. Some of these things were so ridiculous and so far-fetched, like you couldn't possibly know that that was supposed to be a cow. Okay. And someone guessed it and got it right.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not even kidding. There's one that was like a shark, supposed to be a shark. It didn't look anything like a shark. Someone was like, "Is that a shark?" What?
Good
how, how did you get that? So that was really cool and fun. And then next we did almost like a team building challenge of a rope swing onto a platform in a river. So like small, you know, 3 feet at most deep, you know, stream slash river. And this platform was only like 2 feet by 2 feet. Can I just say that we got 13 guys onto that platform? I was one of them. I am not. For those of you who listen to this who don't know what I look like, which would be odd, by the way, there might be some of you out there. Like, I weigh like 220, 230 pounds. So I'm kind of chubby.
I think it's better to say fluffy.
But, you know, I'm not a small person. And there was a guy who's taller and bigger than me out there, you know. There's like a 19-year-old kid who played, like, football for a school in Bristol. Okay. And he was on the platform, too. But 13 of us got on that platform. So that was a really cool game. And then for you fans of The Tonight Show, have you ever seen Drinko?
I have.
You have to blend things together.
Oh, yeah, that's a fun one.
Well, we did like a non-alcoholic version of this game. And the options, we built this Plinko board, you know, and dropped air hockey pucks down it. And the options were utterly ridiculous. So clam chowder was one of them. Baby food. Red Bull. Prune juice. Nacho cheese. I'm trying to think of the rest of them, but
yeah, I'm just imagining the combinations. That's disgusting.
High C. Juice boxes. Ketchup. Pickle juice.
There's no way to win this.
And I was the master chef.
Okay.
Which I blended the things together. And so what was funny is you know, your team actually was dropping the discs to make the other teams drink.
Right.
So it was really funny that, you know, they would get ketchup and all this other stuff. Ugh. So the first time I made it, you know, someone got ketchup and prune juice. Ugh. And High C or something like that. And so I would scoop ice, put it in. We made it a smoothie. A
little cocktail.
Yeah, you know, so you put ice in there, put it in the blender, blend it up, you know. And the first group, they were like, this isn't that bad. So the next group, I went a little heavy-handed on, like, the ketchup.
Yeah.
Like, I put a bunch of ketchup. A lot of starch. So it was really cool, though, because, you know, the whole team would split up the whole blender worth into, like, bathroom cups, you know?
Okay.
So it was only, like, a little, like, shooter of this awful concoction. And everyone was so funny, as everyone's like, you're so mean. I'm like, this is hysterical.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
From the outside, it's hilarious.
But the team stepped up and went in there, and you know, one team, the red team, their whole team joined in, and you know, they together were, you know, in pride, they drank their drink, and there's just, you know, there's something about team building and getting guys together and just having fun and knowing that there is other good faithful men out there. Because sometimes in today's world, you feel like you're the only one.
Yeah.
You know, if you work at a regular 9-to-5 job or out in the what we call the real world, you just know how tough it is. And as men, it somehow today we're just society tells us that we shouldn't go to church, that making money is the most important thing.
Right.
And that these earthly possessions of ours are the most important thing out there. And the nice thing about getting, like, these men together is that they can see it's not. The most important thing is God.
Right.
And the most important calling of a man is to spread the gospel at all times. I love that quote. Spread the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words.
Right.
It should be by your actions. And maybe sometimes it is throwing a toilet for distance.
Or shooting a 2x4 out of a cannon.
Yep. Or a bowling ball out of a man-made catapult. We have a working trebuchet. It throws 10-pound bowling balls like 100 yards. This is the men's ministry that I'm a part of.
So what's the website again?
So
it's prime-cuts.org.
And that's just my friend Kelsey's site. If you look down there, there's you'll see a link for Red Barn. That's my friend Sam's ministry. And you'll see some videos for meet and greet. There's a link, I think, on there to go to see the videos on Vimeo or something like that. So it's just really fun. And the more that I do it, and the more it puts in perspective of what, you know, my true calling is, and just what we're all called to as men. Because here's the other thing that I got from the weekend is, we all know that in this country and in the world, in some areas it's not as bad. The priesthood, the number of priests, vocations that we're getting right now is really low in America. We are not all called to the priesthood. We will all hear a different calling for our vocations. Some it's fatherhood, some it's lay ministry, and some it is the priesthood. We are not all called to become priests. We are called to discern and to support those who are discerning. Because it's an amazing sacrifice to answer that calling and to become a priest. And that was one of the big things that I got out of this weekend, is that as a man, you may not be called to the priesthood. You may be called to the priesthood, but you're definitely called to discern vocation. And that means taking some serious time to pray and to really, really consider it. And it's funny. Earlier in my life, I never even really thought about that. But there was a point in my life where I thought maybe God was calling me to that. Mm-hmm. And I did take some time and think about it and pray on it. But I found that my calling is to get married, mm-hmm. and to start a family, be a father. And my vocation, youth ministry. My other vocation is to be a good husband, mm-hmm. when Eva and I get married.
I would have loved to see you just as a priest wearing the "Don't Hate Me Because I'm a Little Cooler" t-shirt.
I have to say,
with a little Rubbermaid cooler on it.
Last year, there was a priest at a mission trip.
Yeah.
That was essentially me as a priest.
I remember super, hearing about that, yeah.
Super goofy, wore awesome bacon-related t-shirts, and could do a back handspring. Just throwing that. I can do a front handspring. I can't do a back handspring. But anyway.
I can fall forward on my face. That's my
surprisingly story. Enough, I can do a front handspring and a pretty darn good cartwheel. But anyway, speaking of dancing and tumbling,
mm-hmm.
music.
Music. And one thing that you were talking about the different ministries, I was thinking about Mark Hall of Casting Crowns, because in Casting Crowns, these are musicians who tour the country, sometimes around the world, but they also serve the youth ministry in their parishes. And Mark Hall's a youth ministry leader, and they make sure that when they're doing their touring schedules, that they can still be at their church for Sunday worship.
Awesome.
And so it's neat to see them do that balance between the music, but also living the faith and actually, you know, enriching their church and making sure that kids are growing up as leaders and taking charge and mm-hmm. leading the church of the future. So one thing that Mark Hall has actually recently done is he's created his own independent music label.
Oh, that's really cool.
So last year, I want to say, or the year before, they had a single called Thrive. We Were Made to Thrive.
Okay.
Well, that's the name of the label, Made to Thrive.
Sweet.
And they have their first artist to sign onto the label, and her name is Hannah Kerr. She's from New York, and she's got her second single out right now. It's charting. It's going up the charts, and it's a really catchy song called Undivided. So if you have a chance, recommend checking out, even if you can look her Sweet. Up on YouTube. She's 19 years old, very talented, and maybe she'll be the next big thing. I'm not sure. Still too early to tell, but she's definitely got that talent. Another cool thing, I was showing this to you, Steve, before we hit record, but John Foreman of Switchfoot was on a radio program this morning talking about the new album that Switchfoot's putting out later this year.
Mm-hmm.
And they played a game where they were playing like a little iPhone roulette where they'd pick a song and
cool.
see who picks a better voted song for that mm-hmm. round. He actually pulled out this app and said, this is actually what I listen to with music on my phone. And I had to look it up. It's called Radio or Radio Woo. I don't know how it's pronounced. It's got five O's at the end. but basically what happens, you pick the decade, you pick the country, and then you pick
anywhere in the world, by the way.
Yeah.
Evan played a song from South Africa earlier.
Right, right. So you pick the decade, you pick the country, and you pick the tempo or the mood of the song. They range
really
it as slow, fast, and weird. and then it finds an artist and a song from that area, from that decade, and with that tempo. And it's remarkable because you can learn about the different cultures and mm-hmm. go, oh, okay, I see some similarities to what was popular in the U.S. during the British invasion of the 60s.
Yeah.
And you can also see the differences as well. So if you're interested in that, it's radio or radio ooh.
So it's radio with a bunch of extra O's.
Five. I had to count. There's five O's.
So five O's, including the normal O.
Right. Right. So you could get that with a tablet or a phone. You know, it's
awesome.
It's fun to check out.
And smooth transition to our next thing that we always do is Saint of the Day. And you can definitely look up Catholic.org. Every day has a saint. And we chose tomorrow We're recording this on June 16th, but you probably won't listen to it till tomorrow, the 17th. So we figure we go with tomorrow's saint. So Saint Joseph Cafasso was born with a spinal condition, a spinal deformity. And in his time, and of course, even currently today, having a deformity is normally a sign of weakness. And in that day and age, you probably were just going to be shunned from society and probably wouldn't live very long. So for him to even grow up to become a priest and a preacher, he wanted to, when he did become a priest, he was an amazing preacher and his spirit was so alive and everything. And he was an amazing confessor. So he loved hearing confessions. He strived for focus on the Eucharist and he challenged priests to give up their worldly possessions to be more focused on God and the Eucharist. So those are such major characteristics that I just love about this saint. So Saint Joseph Cafasso. So look him up. There's a lot more to his story, and it's just pretty awesome because you think about today with people with deformities and stuff like that, and you know how they might be looked down upon, and he overcame that and became an amazing priest and an amazing man. So Saint Joseph Cafasso, saint of the day.
Very nice.
Awesome. So we also have news of the weird, which again, smooth transition.
smooth, just tackling it.
So we're going to start off. I'll preface this by saying, have you ever tied your tooth to a door handle and slammed it to try to get a tooth out when you were a kid?
I haven't done that, but I did sleep on a bunk bed and I tied my tooth to the bedpost right before I went to sleep and just figured, well, if I move in my sleep, I'll probably yank it out. Just to show what a weird kid I was growing up. But there's actually a story about a dad who took it to a huge high-octane, high-adrenaline level. This is in Great Falls, Virginia. And he decided to do this a really, really fun way for his kid. Why not get a helicopter?
That's right, folks.
Tie my son's tooth out using the helicopter. Which is probably the most expensive way you could. I hope he owned that helicopter. Because hiring a helicopter to do
like
that.
Like, not a radio controlled helicopter, no. An actual helicopter. So
he ended up making a video out of it on his Mac and put it on his Facebook.
Check it out on YouTube. I know we're running a little bit long. The music's about to kick in to tell us that we've been over a half an hour. So, as always, I know we're ending kind of abruptly, but that's okay, because I just want to say thank you to all you out there that listen to us again at baconsmiles.org. Have me come out to your parishes. I love doing youth ministry. So shoot me an email, steve@baconsmiles. How can they get a hold of you?
Oh, you're talking to me?
Yes.
Okay. Evan the DJ on Twitter or Evan CT on Instagram.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Love you all.